Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast, one-stop shop for everyone feeling stuck in their career and who are looking to identify, change, and succeed at their new fulfilling work. I'm your host, Dilmo Seita. Let's go. Hi, lovers. How are you? By the way, I've been meaning to ask you, do you mind me calling you lovers? I love the word lover. I have a slight obsession with it. When I refer to you guys as lovers, by the way, I don't necessarily use lover referring to its main definition, which is, I had to Google this, which is a partner in a sexual or romantic relationship outside marriage. I love the word lover for its second meaning, which is a person who likes or enjoys a specified thing. And I add that a lover is a person who makes love and also who spends time loving. Isn't that beautiful? One of my mentors, Brooke Castillo, who, by the way, I've never worked with in person, but I still consider her my mentor and coach. By the way, just like those of you who are not working with me, but listening to this podcast, I'm your coach too. So Brooke often says that we should not look at love as a verb, meaning that when we use love in its noun form, it implies that love is passive, that it either exists or it just simply doesn't. But if we choose to love in its verb form, that means that we actively take action in choosing to love daily, in loving ourselves, in choosing to love our partners, the lives that we're creating. We literally then get to wake up and we get to decide to love by expressing our love, by performing acts of kindness, by exercising our bodies, by falling in love with our partner over and over again. We're doing the loving. We're recommitting to the act of loving. So that's how I see love, and that's how I see the word lover. Someone made a comment wondering why I address the listeners as lovers. So there you go. Now you know. And I hope that you love being a lover just as much as I love lovingly call you that. Okay, let's move from loving to business. Now, today I want to talk to you about taking responsibility and introduce you to a few concepts that may help you with this beautiful process of unfolding and changing your career. Some of the concepts are developed by me, and some of them are actually not mine, so it's a mixed bag of everything. I think we should always give credit when it's due, and if I don't give credit, that's only because I have assimilated quite a few concepts through osmosis and cannot even attribute them to one particular person. So I really feel like it's important to share that disclaimer here. So in the first 10 episodes, I deliberately spent time inviting you to engage into sacred pause and spend time getting to know yourself, your values, your strengths, your core zone of genius, all of that so that you could become an ultimate self expert. That is, I invite you to be intentional and not give in to temptation to just try something new or just quit and see what happens. And I see you serial career and job changers. This is addressed to you, the ones who are like, oh, I don't think this is working. Let me try something else. So what I am inviting with this work, and in particular with the 10 episodes, the first 10 episodes, is because I really want to for you to make sure that your next career move is based on an educated decision and applied experience. And I know that I often say that we should be creatively strategic with our career change. And I may sound a little bit like a broken record, but I really think I cannot emphasize it enough. And there are actually two main camps that I've seen with career changers, two distinct groups. First, those who are eternally stuck in the thinking mode of changing a career, but not really following through at all because they think that they need to collect more data. They think they need to look through their financials and then they wait for, I don't know, like sign from the universe. And even when that sign smacks them into the face, they still wouldn't acknowledge it. And they would come up with another reason why they cannot perform the switch yet. And that is because the problem is never in the lack of data or lack of information, but is usually pointing towards some sort of internal resistance, which is usually in the form of fears and limiting beliefs that need to be addressed first before they can actually successfully switch. And the second camp on the other side of the spectrum are the doers. The ones who are so prone to taking action, it's actually borderline painful for them to sit down and think or pre-think or strategize. They prefer making decisions on a whim, like, you know, stabbing in the dark, seeing what sticks, right? And they have usually made a key decision at some point in their lives, usually as a consequence of something that has happened to them or a situation that they were exposed in. They made a decision that their lives, that analyzing their lives or being strategic is not safe or it's not effective, so they just do the opposite. And now, obviously, these are, you know, very generalized groups, and I have exaggerated a little bit for you to just to get the idea. Because my suggestion is to stand firmly in the middle between the two of these approaches. So first, spending some time analyzing who you are, your unique strengths, what you want, that is your original passions and interests, and then what is in alignment with your values. And once you have that piece of information, only then shortlisting a few potential career options in the intersection of these three elements. And then based on that, taking massive action by entering into test drive phase, by, you know, engaging, trying, testing, smelling, engaging all of your senses into these new potential career paths to get the feedback and then decide which is the best fit. Only then you make your transition plan. Only then you execute on it, right? So this is essentially just a summary of everything that I've been teaching you and sharing with you up until now. And the reason why it's so important and why I find myself advocating on that is because the better you know yourself, the easier it will be to find a job that matches you, all of you, versus you trying to match the job or fill a vacancy. No one's got time for that. Life is short, right? I want us all to live out our purpose and wake up freaking excited. And secondly, another very, very big puzzle piece, which I kind of, you know, touched upon and broad strokes in the previous episodes, but I really want to go deeper into, which is taking back control. Again, this is something that I've been, you know, spoken about in various contexts and self-help communities, but I like to just expand it here when it comes to the career change. In reality, I want you to look at yourself as the president of your own personal corporation. That means that you are completely in charge of your own person, of your production, of your quality control, of your training, of your marketing, of your finance, of your promotion, as if you were a business unit. You're responsible for it all. Because thinking of yourself passively as being employed and therefore subject to certain rules of someone else can be like really fatal to your long-term success and career satisfaction. Your willingness to put yourself out there and try things will depend upon your ability to become self-responsible and self-determining and acknowledging that everything that happens to you happens because of your conduct, because of your behavior. You are in the driver's seat. You are behind the steering wheel of your life. It's up to you to decide how to utilize those talents and those abilities that you have, which I know you have a lot of them are even dormant. You haven't even looked at them properly. And that is what is going to bring you the highest return on investment of your time and energy. So no one else is going to do it for you. You're the boss. Others can help you. Others can guide you, direct you. They can channel for you, like my podcast host, Ashley. They can kind of point you into the right direction and give you some opportunities. But in the final analysis, no one can make that critical decision that will determine your future and in turn, your fortune. So don't be fooled. It's you and it has always been you. And I don't want you to use this against yourself. I want to look at it as an empowering truth. Now, if you are serious about transitioning in your career, I want you to look at this as a standalone project that you will be running. There might be certain timeline that you will want to follow. There will be certain deliverables that you will have to produce, like an updated resume or a cover letter, many of them, if you are switching, you know, industries and roles. And here's one main issue that you might run into, and I kind of want to pre-warn you about this. You may end up actually falling behind the timeline and deadlines that you have set for yourself. And I hear it so often that people saying, you know, my plan is to change career in 3 to 6 months. And 18 months later, they're still in the first phase of just analyzing the, you know, the first camp that I introduced, the fingers. And you really, there is a very high chance for you to end up stalling. And some of you perhaps are in the middle of it now as you listen to this podcast. And one of the main reasons why that happens is because our educational and then our working environments have literally programmed us to be motivated by external deadlines versus our own internal deadlines. I really want you to think about this and to ask yourself whether you are someone who tends to prioritize external motivation versus your own internal feedback and your own judgment and your own commitment you've made to yourself. We are so incredibly indoctrinated to value other people's opinions over our own and honor our word to the other people over our own word to ourselves. How many times did you show up for something just because you had promised someone that you're going to be there? How many times did you hand in the work just because you had promised someone to hand it in by a specific time and date? And if it was left on your own judgment, you would have taken much longer. We are told that, you know, our bosses and supervisors or people in charge are more important and the tasks and expectations that they set are more important than what we expect from ourselves. So oftentimes, if you don't solve for it, and if you don't have someone in your life who can hold you accountable, like a friend or a partner or a coach, you may actually struggle with doing all of this career shebang work. It's a huge project, you guys. So what I'd like to introduce to you today is how to make the most out of your internal ecosystem. When you're embarking on a new career path, you have 3 different roles. You are the CEO, you are the manager, and you are the employee. And when we're just coming into this transition process, we only usually have very strong muscles in the employee category. So this whole concept, by the way, was suggested by Catherine Morrison, who actually applies this process to people who are launching into setting up their own businesses, right? Who are basically transitioning from being employees into business owners. So if you are one of those, by the way, whose career change looks like setting up your own, whether it's product-based or service-based business, this is in particular relevant to you. So I really want you to listen up. So once you have done your unveiling work, once you have test-driven your option and you have clarity on that next career move, you come up with a transition plan, which becomes your strategy, and then it goes down to tactics. Now, like I said, the chances are that as you come into this career change work, you have already earned your experience in being a very good employee. And employee usually is very good with tactical work. So you can count on your internal employee to get the nitty-gritty work done, right? Like set up the systems, perhaps write your copy for social media, schedule appointments, you know, whatever it is that requires a lot of detail and not a lot of high-level thinking, the employee has it down. But the strategy cannot be worked on by the employee because usually your internal employee lacks the vision. So this is where your internal manager has to step in and put it all together. Now, my question to you is, what sort of internal manager do you want your internal employee to have? One that is present, one that spends time pre-thinking, making the strategy bulletproof, maybe consulting others who've done similar work to learn from their mistakes, or do you want an internal manager who just Googles done-for-you strategy template? I don't know. Doesn't even bother to personalize it and put your logo on it. I'm sure we all had managers like that, you know, who just don't want to do the hassle and go the extra mile. And finally, what sort of inner CEO would you like? One who never consults his employees and works in silos? Or one who perhaps takes into account the needs of your inner employee by getting to know her? For instance, maybe you find that in the mornings you are most focused and you can perform that, you know, detail-oriented, annoying tasks, and you may have more patience for them in the morning than, say, in the afternoon. So a good inner CEO would then give that inner employee permission to only work half a day in the mornings and get the job done. Because you're a good inner CEO would have 100% trust that that is enough for your inner employee to get the work done. So if you spend some time identifying and deciding how you want this internal ecosystem to operate moving forward, I can tell you this, your focus, your productivity, and the results both during the career change and in the new career will skyrocket. And I hope you follow me here. And I hope this does not sound like I'm promoting to embrace schizophrenia. What I am suggesting is to train your inner CEO, your manager, and your employee now so you would not be stuck in agony and underperformance in your new career. Because spoiler alert, if you don't, you may end up with a very inconsistent, non-present CEO, mean manager, and an employee that either produces from pressure and stress. So they get the result, but they feel miserable. For instance, then they, you know, result in working only before deadlines and not knowing how to pace themselves and etc. Or on the other side of the spectrum, they just spin out of, you know, in confusion, overwhelm, they doubt, and then they end up freezing because their nervous system just gets overstimulated. So they need to remove themselves from the situation and find something that would help them cope with it, that would ease and calm the nervous system down. So this is where you'll find them Netflixing, drinking, partying, whatever it is that their poison of choice is. Another point is if you end up getting stuck in employee mode, you will often learn that as employees, we were trained to perceive anything that doesn't get a result as failure, as underperforming. Because when you're an employee and you fail, you simply risk losing your job. It's ingrained in us. If you don't risk losing a job, you'll definitely risk losing a promotion. You basically risk being in trouble. Whereas in this context, this mindset will hurt you. Because like I've said many times, you cannot fail in the exploration stage. all what you're doing is just gathering data, the more information for you to base your decisions upon. So the more you fail, the more you succeed. So bringing that employee mindset, which thinks that if something did not go according to the plan, means that they're in trouble and something is failing, is really gonna stall your progress. It's gonna make you stop in your tracks and question everything that you're doing. So by embracing all these three aspects, you will be able to commit to your goals and be demanding of yourself, but not shame and judge and get disappointed when something does not go according to the plan, when you do not do as much as you had planned to do. Listen, especially if you are, I actually wrote an Instagram post about it. If you are one of those A++ overachievers, one of the tendencies that they do tend to have is beating themselves up so much. They have such an aggressive internal dialogue and they use everything that went wrong against themselves versus embracing it as a learning. You know how I know it? I'm that person. I literally had to work hard to learn how to cultivate self-compassion, to give myself permission to take breaks, to learn how to listen to my feminine who wants to flow, who wants to play, who gets creative only when I'm in completely unrestricted environments. So if this is, you know, if this is something you can relate to, I really want you to listen to all that I'm sharing here and make sure that you do not make those mistakes and you solve for these as soon as possible so that they wouldn't end up coming up for you as you already are in the middle of the process. So, are you a mean manager to yourself? Are you a CEO who has so much on her mind? She does not have time to show up for her inner work. She does not have time to get up earlier in the morning and work on her career change regularly. Really, really give yourself the gift of asking and answering those questions. And as always, do continue sharing your aha moments and your favorite takeaways with me on Instagram. I love hearing back from you. In the meantime, I'm going to love you and leave you. Until next Monday. Bye. Thank you for tuning in today. If you are in any of the three career change stages, whether you are still finding yourself in despair and analysis paralysis, trying to crystallize your next career move, or you are someone who already has a vision of what your purpose-led career is, but you have no idea how to start implementing it, or last but not least, if you're in the middle of the change process and you feel like you need some additional support on how to leverage your current experience, how to negotiate the best terms of resignation, and ensure that the switch is as smooth and drama-free as possible, I would really like to encourage you to schedule a complimentary call with me to explore the ways in which I can support you. As a career changer myself, I know firsthand how lonely, how daunting and confusing, just downright scary this journey can be, and I sincerely wish I would have had someone to speak to, be accountable to, someone who'd give me the steps and who'd unconditionally have my back and cheer me on along this transition journey. You can schedule your call by clicking on the link in the episode notes or by heading over to my Instagram at vilma.usaite and clicking on the link in my bio. I cannot wait to meet you.